Ring them bells, St. Catherine, from the top of the room. Ring them from the fortress, for the lilies that bloom. All the lines are long, and the fighting is strong. And they're breaking down the distance between right and wrong.
This is Leah.
And this is Allie.
And this is Liberty Bells Radio.
Woo, it's back.
I know. It's been a long time since either of us said that.
Yep, I know. It makes me sad, actually. I've been craving the attention hardcore.
I've been craving you.
I've been craving you, too.
Oh, my God. Everyone's going to listen to this, and they're going to just cry because they can hear the pain in our souls from being separated.
I know. Well, we shouldn't make our listeners sad. We should make them happy. So let's talk about why we've been apart and the new things that we're doing with our lives, and hopefully that'll create for interesting content.
Yeah, we'll catch them up on everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so a few things have been going on. One, it was kind of just this perfect storm of events that happened that made it hard for us to record. The first thing was that I went to Korea for a week on vacation.
Yeah, right before I left, I moved away too, so I couldn't even like squeeze out the last few weeks of us living in the same town together because she had to up and leave before I left.
But that's anyway. Right. In fact, you
moved. And then you came back early.
I did. I came back just a few days early. I was supposed to come back on a Thursday. I came back on a Sunday. That was mostly due to needing to get back to work because I had been gone for quite a while, and you spend money when you're on vacation. By the way, for the people that want to know, Korea is not any cheaper than the States. Well, with the exception of one thing that I did find, which we can talk about, but prescription eyeglasses are remarkably cheaper in Korea.
That makes sense, I guess. I don't know why. It just seems like, it just sort of seems like the kind of thing I can imagine being cheaper, like the way people do medical stuff overseas. Like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of times prescription stuff in the United States is really expensive just because the pharmaceutical industry is so, like, blown up and, I don't know, seems like a big-ass bubble to me, but keep going.
Yeah, I didn't verify that the person doing my prescription or doing my eye exam was not a doctor, but I can't imagine that he was. Essentially, in Korea, everyone pretty much wears glasses, even if they don't need them. A lot of them just wear them for fashion. It's almost like hipsters dress like Koreans. I was going to say that Koreans dress like hipsters, but it has to be the other way around because you can't have a whole nation of people that dress a certain way and then say that someone else is emulating them.
Korea's
or they're emulating
hip.
Someone else.
I'll admit
yeah,
it.
Korea is hip, and it's way more hip than people give credit for. A few people before I went over there were talking about how I needed to make sure I was safe and I didn't, you know, get into any sort of strange situation and watch out. And people, my mom especially, was a little apprehensive. But once I got, I mean, I knew it wasn't bad anyway, but once I got there, it was like being in the States for all intents and purposes in terms of safety. And, you know, they don't have an active sex trade there or anything like that.
Right.
It's just, you know.
You didn't get a Korean hooker?
I didn't get a Korean hooker, nor did I become a Korean hooker.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You could have probably dragged out your vacation if you had just, you know, tried that out a little bit. I don't know.
I could have dragged out a lot of things, I suppose.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is I think you'd probably be a really good hooker.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I got a job working the corner.
I heard that. You were working the corner. the corner store.
It's the Corner News is the name of the store, mm-hmm. or you can call it the Corner Store. It's really awesome. It's like downtown Keene. And I don't know, one of the things that I was worried about before I moved to New Hampshire was finding a job, but it actually wasn't, you know, it like just kind of worked out for me. But yeah, it's a store. It's not, I'm not a prostitute.
It's not the actual corner.
Right.
But is it on a corner?
On a corner though.
Okay. All right. Well, we're halfway there. Yeah, well, that was the other thing that happened. You moved to New Hampshire, and you moved there in the middle of my vacation, which made it hard for me to mourn properly. I properly mourned when I returned, but when I was there, I knew you were moving, but because of the vacation aspect and me being busy doing vacation-type things, I didn't properly realize until I was back in my empty house
Aww.
That you were gone. I know.
Your house is really sad to be in alone. I don't know why. It feels like there's
maybe
be
because
more people.
It's big.
Yeah, I mean,
it's decently
not,
big.
It's not. I mean, there are lots of people who live in those size homes alone, but like, I don't know. I guess I'm just used to having like you and Liam there. And when you left, it was like, oh no! Like, I feel like I should have music playing in every room because then I won't. It feels like, you know, when you're at home and there's like no television and no music and it's just like quiet and you're all alone, it's like, yeah, I gotta go do something.
Oh, absolutely. It's true. So back to the glasses, this is just I don't know, do you have any questions, Allie? We can just go from there about Korea.
I have lots of questions about Korea. So, are people smarter there?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't speak Korean, so I can't properly answer that question. But I will say, if you want me to point out things about Koreans that are different than people in general in the States, I can.
Okay. Yeah, tell us your observations. Even though you can even make general statements with the disclaimer that they're general statements and they may or may not apply to all Koreans or all Americans.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do right now. So here are some of my observations. Well, one, it's actually a fact that Koreans drink, other than one other country in the world, I believe Germany, Koreans drink more than any other country in the world.
Damn.
Yeah, they are quite the drinkers.
Wait, they just drink more often, or they drink, like, more as far as, like, okay, so is it amount of alcoholic beverages they drink, amount of alcohol that they actually try to put in their system every day, or is it blood alcohol content? Because I don't know, like, generally Koreans seem smaller. Is that okay to say?
They are. No, they definitely are smaller.
So
I don't know.
Are they just getting it probably might not take as much to get them drunk. So what is that?
No,
measuring?
They drink a ton.
Damn.
I think the statistic is based on overall consumption of amount of alcohol.
Okay.
And most of their alcohol has a higher percentage of alcohol content than drinks in the States. Like, the popular drinks in Korea are soju, beer, and then a rice wine. The name escapes me right now. If any of our listeners can remember, I might remember towards the end. But essentially, soju is the big one, and it looks clear. Some people say it tastes kind of like rubbing alcohol. I don't think it's that bad, but they mostly use it to take shots or mix it with beer. You order a beer and it's a 40 at a restaurant. They give you a 40 and they give you little glasses, and then you share it with your friends, and then you put soju in it. That stuff will get you crunk for real.
That's very exciting.
And also the drinking age is 18 there.
Really?
And the other thing about Koreans is that they're extremely pleasant drunks.
That's awesome.
They don't fight really. And again, I'm sure that there are instances of fighting, but in general, they don't fight. They become more outgoing because Korea in general, I mean, even though they're different than a lot of other Asian cultures, they're similar in a lot of ways in that they are probably slightly more subdued at times than maybe us. They put a lot of emphasis in addressing their elders in the right way and respect and politeness and stuff like that.
What is the right way to address your elders?
Well, they're the way that you talk to elders is different than you talk to people your age or people that are younger. For example,
that ain't right. To say that sounds ageist to me.
It is. It is. But like to say hello, you say annyeonghaseyo, and you say that to your elders. But if you're talking to a little kid, you say annyeong. It's cute in a way.
That is cute.
Yeah. So anyway, when they drink though, it's like their jovial, enthusiastic personality comes out, and they're extremely pleasant. I made a lot of friends drinking in Korea.
That's awesome. Well, you're probably drinking the entire time, so who knows what they'd be like if you weren't drinking. They'd probably be just as pleasant.
I was drinking a lot. And I also they don't really have open container laws. You don't see a bunch of people walking around. This is the interesting thing, and I think it's an interesting note on people who say, oh, if you did this, then everyone would just be walking around with a bottle of wine in their hands whatever, you know?
They don't have open... with bottles of wine just walking around.
Exactly. They don't have open container laws, and yet the only time you see people with open containers is in places that make sense. For example,
between two bars.
Not even that, really. I mean, sometimes you would see that, but for the most part, the place I saw it the most was on the beach, because people would buy a few beers or a bottle of soju, get some food, put a blanket on the beach at night, and sit on the beach. And drink and have fun. And then there were these old women that would walk through the beach with bottle rockets for sale.
Oh, that's awesome. Or so you were allowed to shoot off bottle rockets off the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, a few times we bought bottle rockets. And the Koreans are hilarious. Like, the ones that I made friends with, by the way, let me just say, the way that I made friends with Koreans, because it is... people say that Koreans don't like foreigners or don't really like Americans that much. And I never had a problem with them at all. But the thing is Korean is pretty difficult language to learn, or it was for me. I knew no Korean going to Korea. I just went to visit my friend and have an adventure. And I learned how to say hello and thank you, you know, on the second day or the first day. Mm-hmm. So when I was walking around the beach with my friends and I didn't speak any Korean, and I saw... I even said to my friends, listen, all of us are white people. We know no Koreans and we're in Korea. That's not right. I'm not going to come to Korea and not meet some Koreans, you know?
Right.
So I went along the beach, and where there was a group of people, I would just say, annyeonghaseyo, and just say, hey. And then some of them, you know, they were doing their own thing. But I did that two nights in a row, and I made so many friends. I got a group of Koreans together. They were so happy to talk to us. They were interested.
Could they speak English?
They could speak a little English. And on the second night when I was on the beach, well, this was not the second night of being in Korea, but this was the second night of being in Busan, which is the second biggest city. I made some friends with people there. But earlier in the day when we were on the subway... they have a great mass transit system, by the way. I saw this guy, this Korean, and he was wearing a shirt, and on the back of the shirt in huge letters, it said, fuck it all, in English. Fuck it all. So I took a picture. Well, the shirt was a Machine Head shirt, which is a band. And then I started talking to him, and he spoke English very well. So we exchanged numbers, and he said that he wanted to hang out. Yeah, he said he wanted to hang out that night with us. And that night he came out. My friend Chris has a Korean number because he lives in Korea, so they exchanged numbers. And he came out that night, and so we actually had a translator. So when we were on the beach and we met these other Koreans, he was helping translate. And
be your translator.
Yeah, we bought bottle rockets, and they were holding them,
that's
setting
so
them off.
That's so romantic,
and
Leah.
Well, it wasn't very romantic. It was romantic in the more open adventure sort of sense, you know, because everyone was just having so much fun. And, you know, then later on that night, we ended up doing Nuriban, which is where you rent a room and do karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
That
was
ended
like
up...
one of those themed rooms? Because I don't think those are for karaoke.
No, it wasn't themed. Well, it had a lot of flowers on the wallpaper. By the way, Korean interior decorating is often somewhere between like your grandmother's house in the 70s and futuristic. It's a very odd. I don't understand where it comes from. The hotel was that way. The Narbonne was that way.
But I probably would love it because I love grandma clothes and I also like the future. So
maybe I also like the future.
So maybe I should go to Korea.
I say that if you ever want to go to Korea, Allie, I will go with you and we will have adventures.
Yeah, we can meet back up with your translator.
And Ross will come too. Oh, let's bring that up.
Who's Ross?
So
who's that?
Ross. okay, so you know who Ross is.
I know who Ross is. For all the listeners,
Ross is my friend and your friend, and he is doing stretches in front of me in a funny way to show his physical and manly prowess right now. He's my roommate for the next 3 months. He's auditing some classes by Roderick Long, the philosophy professor, and we met through Liberty type activities, and I told him he could stay in my spare room for 3 months. So
that's so nice.
That's what's going on. Yeah, he replaced you.
He replaced me. Damn it. Oh well.
Yeah.
That's fun. When you hear about my time in New Hampshire, you'll be all like, oh.
I'm already jealous.
Yeah. Well, you probably should be.
Okay, so you. So let's talk about you. And by the way, if anyone has questions about Korea, there's actually way more to talk about. We could probably make a separate episode of me just talking about my observations in Korea and you talking about New Hampshire. But I think that...
I think two in one is probably the best.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we can talk about more about Korea another time. But and I'll probably even... Well, maybe we'll have Ross on one day because he's traveled a lot to a lot of different places.
Yeah, that'd be good. So, But yeah... So, do you have any questions about New Hampshire? I mean, I could just talk. I could just start talking about it, if that's okay.
Yeah, you moved to Keene.
Yeah,
and...
I moved to Keene, New Hampshire about, I guess it's been 2 weeks now. And it's been really great. I still need to write. I want to write about my experience. And if I do, then I'll post it in Liberty Bells, but on the Facebook page. But basically... I came up here for the Free State Project. I came up with my sister. We drove together, and then she flew back 2 days afterwards. It was a pretty, like, the drive up here wasn't that insane. You know, I thought I was gonna be like, I was gonna be so tired of driving, and it was gonna suck. And I was pretty tired of driving, but you know, it wasn't too bad. And I really appreciated having my sister with me.
Yay, Lauren.
Yeah, and she got to meet a lot of my, they at the time were my soon-to-be friends, so she knows, like, you know, if I tell a story, then she knows who I'm talking about, and she's met them and stuff.
That's great.
Part. But yeah, so we got here, and we went to Social Sundays, and just sort of socialized a little bit, and I met my roommates, and they all are really cool. One of them, Steve, he actually is helping us with Liberty Bells, so I told him I'd give him a shout-out. So Steve has been really helpful and nice, and all my roommates are really nice. And it's like, you know, there are some, like, it's one of those things where you move to a new place and you found your room, like, on the internet. You're not quite sure about it, and I don't know, I just got really lucky.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yay, Steve.
Yay, Steve. Well, really, yay, Shauna, because she's the one that posted the ad on Craigslist for the room.
Yay, Shauna.
Yay, Shauna. So, since I've been here, I've gotten a job working at the corner store, and basically they sell, tobacco smoking accessories, newspapers, drinks. It's like a gas station that has like everything you'd ever want, basically. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, I really like it. And the owner's really nice, and she, you know, she's not like a Free State or anything, but she's been really friendly towards the Free Staters, and they're her customers, and she sells their shirts, so that's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. So, I guess I was just going to talk about a little bit about sort of the people here. I was definitely led to believe that people in the North were different than people in the South, is sort of just a general thing. There's something about being in the South, like our culture allows us to be more friendly. But I'll just say that it's bullshit, because everyone here is at least as nice as people in Auburn. It's a little bit smaller than Auburn, so that might have something to do with it. But if anyone ever tells you that, like, how nice is someone is regional, I think it has more to do with the like how dense the population of a certain area is. Because, I mean, not saying that, like, less people means they're, like, the more friendly necessarily, but people in Keene are great, you know? Like, everyone I've talked to has been, well, that's most people that I've talked to in general have been really polite and really nice, and, you know, they don't have any problem with me, you know, being polite to them, as if, you know, the way your cousin Doug was saying, like, it weirds him out. No one, you know, he's from New York, so no, but no one here is like that. Yeah. Damn New Yorkers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I've just been really enjoying New Hampshire. It's got, it's similar to Auburn in that it's a college town, but it doesn't have all the, as our listeners, if they have heard me talk about the sorority girls and the frat boys, who I have this something that makes me despise them. I don't know what it is. They're
really
not...
do you despise them?
Well, I don't despise them as individuals, but I despise their, like, collectivism and their inability to find their own individuality, and how they fit into a stereotype just, like, so perfectly. It's almost hard to look at them like individuals, because it doesn't seem like that's what they even really want for themselves. So, you know, I still try to see that, but it's really hard sometimes when they all dress exactly the same and talk the same and are all, you know, sort of keep their if they have intelligence and, like, uniqueness and all that stuff, then they must be hiding it, because I swear, like, I feel like I meet the same in Auburn. I was meeting the same person over and over again, but it's really all different people. Anyway,
it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means, but
you haven't seen that movie?
Oh, yeah, I have. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Was that Tom Hanks?
No, that was Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Okay. Yeah, that's right. That was a good movie. Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
You should, anyone listening who hasn't seen that movie should probably see it. It'll blow your mind. It's like Inception.
Oh, my gosh. Did you like Inception?
No, I didn't. I thought it was stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay.
Well, anyway,
continue.
They don't have the frat kids here or the sorority kids here as much. I'm sure they exist, but I can't tell them apart from anyone else, because I don't know. Everyone, there's, like, so many different kinds of people here, and it's, you know, it's not as diverse racially as Alabama, but, like, that doesn't take away from the uniqueness of all the people. You know what I mean? Like, I would say it's even more unique. I don't know. It's just, anyway.
Well, you're also not near, you're near a college, but not like Auburn. I mean, Auburn is a college town. If the University of Auburn did not exist, Auburn would pretty much cease to exist.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I don't know how much the city of Keene relies on the college for its, like, prosperity or anything like that. You know, like, I think it's just a cool old little town. It's got a lot of character. All the houses here are really old and cute, and I don't know. It's like, it's something I'm still not even really used to. Like, when I walk everywhere here pretty much. The only time I drive is if I'm, like, running, if like I don't have time to walk. But, you know, walking down the street and seeing all the little houses, and they're all so cute, and people have their little flower beds, and it's adorable. The whole town.
Aww.
I love it.
Yeah, I actually have been there before, and I really did like, I only stayed there for a day. I mean, I did it on my way up to Porcupine Freedom Festival, Porkfest, but I liked it too. I really enjoyed, I liked the, it reminded me of Auburn in kind of the small town feel, and it was very quaint, and I did appreciate that.
Yeah. You know. It is quaint. That's a good way to describe it. Very quaint.
Yeah.
Quite quaint. Let's see. I guess I'm done talking about it right now because I don't want to spoil anything for my article. But I guess one thing I should mention that I haven't mentioned yet is just because it's kind of like a weird, like I'm all positive about New Hampshire, but there is like in Keene, there is a group. I won't call it a cult just yet because I don't know enough about it to decide if it's a cult or not. Mm-hmm. But they do some cultish things.
Oh, pray tell.
Yeah, it's, okay, so they call themselves Juggalos.
Oh, God.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah, Juggalos.
Yeah,
do you know about
I know,
this group?
I know all about Juggalos. Please tell me where you came across these people.
Okay, so basically in Keene, it consists mostly, there are a few of, like, a few older kids are Juggalos who like consider themselves sort of originals, but then most of the Juggalos I see are high school or junior high age. They all wear sort of like the Hot Topic attire, if you know what I mean, like kind of punk but also kind of lame, or anyway I think it's like kind of just tacky.
Are these Free Staters?
No.
Okay,
these are like natives. These are like, I don't think any of them are that I've met. I've never met a Juggalo Free Stater, or I've yet to meet one. Actually, maybe I did meet the, maybe, no, I think he's a native. Anyway, it's native. It's a native thing. But yeah, they listen to this band called the Insane Clown Posse, which
Is this your first?
I've never met anyone who self-identifies as a Juggalo before. This is like all new to me.
Okay, for those of you that have never heard of them, this is something you need to Google immediately because this group of people are unlike any group that you'll ever experience. I mean, at least they're passionate about something. But the Insane Clown Posse has a song that says something about magnets. How do they work? They're magic, but in a rap style, and they dress like clowns.
Yeah, that's like their newer stuff. So
they've always dressed like clowns.
Okay, yeah, apparently they have little little Juggalo festivals and stuff, but I'm looking up the 12 most ridiculous Insane Clown Posse lyrics.
I'm sure magnets are on there.
Okay, so it says, first one is, what is a Juggalo? What is a Juggalo? Let me think for a second. Oh, he gets butt naked, and then he walks through the streets, winking at the freaks with a 2-liter stuck on his butt cheeks.
Nice.
That's just one example, and it has some pictures of some Juggalos.
They're classy individuals, I just have to say.
Okay, and another one is, down with the clown. I ate a dead body. I ain't proud of it. I told you all about it, and you all applauded. It doesn't quite rhyme. It seems like if you were gonna just be ridiculous in your lyrics, and you're like, I don't give a fuck what I'm saying, you'd at least be able to make it rhyme. But maybe not.
I don't give a fuck. I have a toy truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes I stop, and then I drink some pop. What?
Yeah, they say...
Okay,
so speaking of pop, I don't call it... I call it soda, by the way. But,
I do too.
We don't... I think that's, like... No one calls it pop here, either. The only people I've ever heard call soda pop are from Illinois. But the Juggalo's favorite drink, by far, is this
Fago.
Drink called Fago. Or yeah. Sometimes I like to call it Fago behind their backs. What it is it's like, from what I understand, it's like caffeine-free. I'm pretty sure it's made with just like corn syrup. I think it's just corn syrup water in different colors.
It's like Fanta or
Sunkist.
It's like
Fanta, yeah. So they have all different kinds of flavors. I've never had this drink before, I don't think. See, it's one of those drinks that's like, you know, if they don't have the drink you want, you're like, damn it. I guess if they don't have Sunkist, I'll just get this orange Faygo drink or whatever it is, because it's only a dollar. And the Corner News is the only place in Keene that sells it. It's silly because the Insane Clown Posse is supposed to be like this group for like badasses and oh my god, like we don't give a fuck. But at the same time, they drink this drink that's like, if you just look it up, just the bottle itself is, it's just like so frilly and great. It's like Fanta or something. It's like, it's not for, you would think that their favorite drink would be like Monster or something like that. But no, it's this like, it's kind of girly. It's like, I don't know, yeah, the way they market it, it's not for badasses.
It's like a, it's like a child's drink.
Right. It's like for children. So, and that's who buys it. So,
is that why you've been getting, like, becoming so familiar with the world of Juggalos? Because they come and get the drink?
Oh, yeah.
And
I
it's
mean,
sold there?
Yeah, they all come into the corner store and buy this drink. It's only 99 cents, and so a lot of times they'll buy, like, lots of it, lots of bottles. And, okay, get this. This is scary. There was a stabbing between two Juggalos who apparently were frequents at the corner store. And and so after, they had nothing to do. It wasn't like outside the corner or anything that I know of. It was just like, oh, like people who, I wasn't working there at this point. It all happened before I moved. But yeah, so it's really lame and it's sad. And one of the kids died. So it's not, you know, I'm making fun of it, but it actually is kind of scary, like, to know that, like, these, obviously the lyrics, even though they say that they're all Christian now, and, you know, the idea you would hope would be that they'd become more peaceful, they obviously don't, you know, just, I don't know if it's the lyrics or just because they're kids or if they're doing, like... It's probably all the Faygo. It's like getting crunk on Faygo and stabbing each other, but...
That's my suspicion.
So what they wanted to do was buy, what they ended up doing is they bought all the Faygo that the corner store had in stock, all of it.
Okay.
And then they had a memorial and they sprayed Faygo all over each other and baptized each other in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is how hardcore they, how much they really, like, are obsessed with this drink. It's really weird, and I don't know. I'm hoping that for some of them it's just, like, one of these phases, and the, you know, I think it's just a fad, really. But see, I don't even understand, because I feel like it's all, yeah, we're, like, the world's outcast, you know? Like, sort of like the punk movement. It's like, we don't give a fuck. No one understands us. We're... too but cool for everyone around us. But there's, like, so many of them that they're not really outcasts, since it's, like, seems like all the kids that age are into this, you know? I know it's not all of them, but it seems like a majority of them are into this whole Juggalo thing. So they're not really outcasts. They're sort of just following a fad and... sort of becoming less individualistic because of it, you know? They end up populating, it's because it's still summer, I don't know, I guess school should be started by now, but they end up populating the pretty downtown Keene area. So, you know, if you're like a mom and you live in Keene and you want to take your babies to the park, you better be okay with being around a bunch of rambunctious high schoolers and junior high kids. I mean, I'm not saying that it's, like, a super dangerous situation to be hanging around them. I've been in situations when they're around and, you know, but it's just, it kind of reminds me of a gang a little bit, the way that they interact with one another. But that's all I'll say about it.
And if you don't like clowns, you definitely don't need to be around it.
Right. Well, none of them, I mean.
None of them
dress like, you know, professional clowns or anything like that.
Okay, they're not there. But if they, you know, the thing is if they went to a Juggalo convention, for lack of a better word, they would all put their makeup on.
Probably. Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. That would probably really freak me out. I've yet to see that. to be honest, most of them that I've met at the corner store who are more of individuals and they'll talk to you, they're really nice. You know, they don't seem to like condone violence or any of that stuff. This is just like what their group of friends do, and they don't they like whatever. It's just cool to them. It's novel to them for some reason. It's like, oh yeah, we live in like Pleasantville here in Keene, New Hampshire. Everything's all pretty and like proper, I guess. You could like think of it that way, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it seems like that to a kid, I'm sure, is that, you know, it's like to them that's like the man keeping them down, and this is them rebelling from that, and so they wear really ugly clothes to contrast with how pretty the town is, and it I don't know. That's just a theory.
That's funny.
I don't know why they dress that way, but anyway.
Well, I'm glad that we covered Korea, New Hampshire, and Juggalos.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting, the whole Juggalo thing, if anyone wants to look it up. The new like album that came out, I heard about it before I'd ever met a Juggalo, and how their newest album is like really Christian, and it's it kind of shows you how idiotic a lot of them are. Not necessarily because they're Christian, but like their reason for being Christian should be offensive to any actual Christian out there who has a brain, because they give some pretty terrible reasons for being Christian in their song lyrics. But anyway.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And also, just so you know, I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm not sure if there's a video, but there's definitely a picture of a Juggalo funeral, which is similar to what you were describing. These two Juggalos had their child died, which is really sad. I'm not sure how it happened, but they all dressed up in their Juggalo gear, and they had a little coffin with a Juggalo hatchet man on it. I mean, it's a sight to behold. It's sad that a child died. I don't really understand how that happened. I don't know what happened to the kid, but the funeral is just ridiculous.
What is it?
It's just
they're spraying Faygo everywhere?
No, it was just a picture. But it was a picture of a man and a woman in Juggalo outfits in front of a little coffin, and Faygo was all around with a hatchet man on the coffin, and then all of their friends are Juggalos as well. It's like paying, like, they get so caught up in this thing, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's sad.
But anyway, yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad we'll have to talk about, we'll have to get some fodder about Juggalos again.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back up at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, it's actually been like 37 minutes. We had so much to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm
excited that we are doing another episode and that Liberty Bells is still going. To any listeners that might have been worried about that, this is for you. So we're continuing to do it. And so this week we have been doing interviews, but this week we just wanted to put something out there and sort of let everyone know what's going on in our lives, for anyone who's interested. And that way future episodes will make more sense, because it sort of gives people a background as to what we're talking about. But what we really want to do is do more interviews and talk about more ideas and stuff like that. So this is This is one of those all about us podcasts.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a selfish podcast, because we haven't talked to each other in a while. I mean, we've called each other, but we haven't really talked to each other in a while extensively. We had these crazy things that happened in our lives, and we're kind of coming together for the first time in a while. But also, we have some interviews lined up. Like, we have Stefan Molyneux, who's agreed to do an interview.
Which is amazing. Right? Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And also we have L. Neil Smith, who is an author of a few libertarian science fiction books, who agreed to do an interview. So we're going to actually start lining these up. And once we also had to kind of work out some technical difficulties because of being so far away. But once we start getting this all worked out, then we're going to have some crazy stuff for you guys.
Yep. It's going to be exciting. And thanks to everyone who's still listening and being patient with us for putting out this new one, because it is a lot harder to do. Hopefully, harder to do when we're so far away, but hopefully it'll still sound good, because we got headsets and we upgraded a little bit, so hopefully quality is better. Sometimes, I guess the best things come in time. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Greatest things come with time.
Yeah, patience, virtue, all that crap.
Yeah, honesty.
Yeah.
What else is good?
What else is good? Other things, but not hurting people. That's good.
That's always ideal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Our email address is libertybellsradio@gmail.com. We have secured a website, which we will be putting up stuff shortly. If you guys want to help, also, I'd like to thank Ross Edwards. He sent us, you don't know about this actually, but he sent us some silver cards with, the silver dimes.
Oh, you got those in. Those are great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you a few of them. They're really cool.
Sweet.
So I'd really like to thank Ross for that.
Thank you, Ross.
Yeah, Ross Edwards. Ross Kenyon is the one staying with me. Ross, we have so many people who are really supportive, and I really appreciate that. So anyway, yeah, email us if you guys have any questions or if you want have any input. We'd really like it. Thanks for listening to our episode. Sorry for the hiatus. I think that's all we have to cover, right?
Right. I think that's good. And we'll post something next week, and I think next week, Leah, you want to talk about some ideas?
Yeah, I think so too. I think we'll talk about some concepts.
Yeah, I like
that. We'll get deep up.
We're gonna keep it real.
Oh, before we end, can I just say I've been obsessed with this lately. I've always loved Louis C.K., but lately I've been watching last season on FX, and he's just, I'm in love with him. It's a confession I have to make. Sorry. I had to make it on the air.
Damn. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, now that Leah's got that out of the way, I guess we can end the podcast.
Okay. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.